Hey, tailgaters! Ross of the Pigskin Tales Podcast here. Feel that summer heat? It's not just the sun, it's the thrill of upcoming college football season, stoking the coals. So get ready for the season. Dive into the history books with Homefield, the premium collegiate apparel brand from Indianapolis. Homefield crafts incredibly comfortable gear designed with iconic vintage nods over 150 colleges. A library of history right on your chest. Homefield is the Indiana Jones of collegiate apparel, uncovering hidden gems from school archives. Unique mascots, logos, and even unforgettable moments frozen in time. Visit homefieldapparel.com and shop the archives. Homefield Apparel, where comfort, nostalgia, and the spirit of college football history unite. Again, that's homefieldapparel.com.
One of the Gridiron's early legendary coaches, Amos Alonzo Stagg, once said, "I pray not for victory, but to do my best." That comes true in a lot of football games, and in today's football history headlines for November 19th, we're going to talk about three defining games in Notre Dame football lore. One player scores 71 points in one game, and a 2018 NFL shootout of young quarterbacks, all coming up on your football history headlines in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com website and your presenter of your football history headlines here on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. And today's edition, we are going to talk about the date of November 19th in football history. And in this gridiron day, it's quite a bit of information coming at you. And we'll get right at it as we start on November 19th, 1910 at Cartier Field, South Bend, Indiana. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish hit a milestone as they reached win number 100 against Ohio Northern in a 47-0 blowout. November 19th. 1932, Charleston, West Virginia. According to a newspaper clipping found on the Ohio State University's archives from a paper called The Lantern, a West Liberty State Teachers College football player named Joe Kershala scored 71 points in a football game of college against Cedarville College. Kershala evidently scored 11 touchdowns in the contest and then kicked 5 extra points that went through the uprights as well to get the miraculous 71 points in one game. That had to be something to watch. November 19th, 1955, we return to South Bend, Indiana, and look as the Iowa Hawkeyes gave the Notre Dame Fighting Irish fits all day, but with 2:15 left to play on the clock, Paul Hornick booted a 28-yard field goal for the Irish that broke the tie and provided the lead that the Golden Domers would hang on to in a 17-14 Fighting Irish win. November 19th, 1966, at Spartan Stadium, Michigan State University's campus. This game was one of a handful dubbed as a game of the century. It was the number 2 in the nation, Michigan State Spartans, hosting the top team in the rankings, Notre Dame's Fighting Irish, according to the American Football Database's article. The Spartans jumped out to a fast start, as well as they hit hard, and the Irish starting quarterback Terry Hanratty exited the game early, as well as their top rusher Nicky Eddy, who injured his shoulder. Then center George Godke wrenched his ankle and was hobbled. Michigan State jumped out to a 7-0 lead after that, and behind a 5-yard touchdown run by Regis Cavender early in the second quarter. Later in the half, MSU added a field goal to go up 10-0. The Irish responded promptly when quarterback Coley O'Brien launched a scoring strike to halfback Bob Gladeau just over the fingertips of an MSU defender to make the score 10-7 at half. The scoring was silent until Notre Dame kicker Joe Azzaro knocked through the tying field goal just barely in the fourth quarter. The defense's road team stood tall, and the Irish missed a 41-yard field goal attempt late in the fourth quarter, and this game of the century ended in a 10-10 tie. Now let's take these football history headlines to the pro game. On November 19, 1978, at Giants Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the miracle at the Meadowlands. The Giants had the ball and were up with just over a half minute left to play. It would take just one kneel down by quarterback Joe Pisarcik and the Eagles would be toast. The Giants coaches figured they had a safer play as they would let Pisarcik take the snap and give a handoff to the legendary back Larry Zonka. What could go wrong? Well, just about everything, as Pisarcik doesn't handle the snap cleanly, and he doesn't have control as he turns to hand the ball off, and it never made it to Zonka, but it did bounce off the Giants stadium turf, and it landed in Eagles cornerback Herman Edwards' hands, and Herm took off and returned the fumble for a touchdown with 31 seconds left to give Philadelphia a 19-17 victory over the rival New York Giants. I think the most common phrase at the water cooler in NYC the next day was, "Hey, he should have took a knee." And yes, he should have. November 19th, 1995, at Taylor Field, Regina, Saskatchewan, the year an American team took home the Grey Cup. What? Is that right? An American team won the Canadian Football League's Grey Cup? In fact, it's very true. The 83rd edition of the Grey Cup for the CFL champion to be crowned was played between the Baltimore Stallions and the Calgary Stampeders. The Stallions won the game by a score of 37-20. It marked the only time an American-based team won the Grey Cup. It was only the second season for the Baltimore club, and yet despite that, the Stallions not be going for a repeat as a franchise ended up being dissolved and then added to make a reincarnated Montreal franchise that closed up shop in 1986 to go under the old Alouettes moniker due to Baltimore getting the NFL's old Cleveland franchise, which would now we know as the Ravens. According to the website Scorem.com, Baltimore got on the board first with a Chris Wright 82-yard punt return for a touchdown. The Stampeders put the score within 1 point at the end of the first quarter with a couple of field goals by Mark McLaughlin. Calgary quarterback Doug Flutie put the Stampeders up when he threw a touchdown pass to Marvin Pope in the second stanza. The Stallions then bolted to a 23-13 halftime score on a scoop and score and three field goals. The Stallions never looked back as Tracy Ham used his feet and arms to keep putting points on the board for Baltimore. The Stallions quarterback Tracy Ham won the game MVP award, and the Canadian Football League's coveted Grey Cup belonged to an American city.
Pigskin Dispatch.
November 19th, 2005, Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. The 70th edition of the Iron Bowl was played as the Auburn Tigers hosted the Crimson Tide of Alabama. Both teams entered the fray with one loss, attributed to both teams losing to LSU earlier in the season. Warbloggle.com captured the action and told us at the end of the first quarter it was 21-0, and the Tigers seemed to be on track for a blowout as they scored on their first three possessions. Auburn's Ben Abomnu accounted for two of the scores as he caught one and took another to the ground, and Kenny Irons rushed for one more. The Tide finally got on the board in the second quarter as a fumble recovery, but the Tigers responded with a Brandon Cox touchdown pass to Cole Bennett later in the second quarter to make the halftime score of 28-7. The second half was fairly quiet as Alabama added a field goal and a touchdown with a two-point conversion as the Auburn Tigers held on for that 28-18 victory over their rivals. November 19th, 2006, at Canadiens Stadium in Winnipeg, the coveted Grey Cup's 94th chapter was played as the Montreal Alouettes took on the BC Lions. CBC Sports website fills us in with the action. Paul McCallum erased two long years of bad football memories as the BC Lions kicker nailed all six of his field goal attempts in the biggest CFL game of the year. The feat was only been done in three other times in history of the Grey Cup. The Lions quarterback Dave Dickinson was able to move the ball against Montreal's defense, but the Alouettes would not allow them to cross the goal line except once in the contest. But it was the BCD that really held down the score as they helped the Lions win their fifth championship as they defeated the Montreal Alouettes 25-14. In all the post-game hype excitement, the Layers play-ins even broke the cup portion of the Grey Cup trophy off its base. Dickinson won the game's MVP nod, while McCallum was the most valuable Canadian in the game. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
November 19th, 2011 at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend, Indiana. It was the 21st meeting of the two largest U.S. Catholic universities, often referred to as the College Football Holy War. ESPN.com has a great recap on the game where they inform us that Irish kicker David Roofer banged home three field goals to go with Jonas Gray's rushing touchdown to power Notre Dame to a 16-14 victory over Boston College.
Pigskin Daily History Dispatch.
Go a little closer to home. November 19, 2018, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Could we have watched the greatest NFL game of all time in 2018? Some people have called the Monday Night Football game that had the two young up-and-comer quarterbacks facing off against each other just when the LA Rams' Jared Goff played opposite of Patrick Mahomes of the KC Chiefs. And what was witnessed was the third highest scoring game in NFL history, and it also was the first game time that two opposing teams each scored 50 points in the same game. According to CBSSports.com, second-year player Patrick Mahomes tossed for 478 yards and six touchdowns for Kansas City, which was most ever in the history of Monday Night Football by a quarterback. Goff was no slouch in the contest either, as he threw for 413 yards and four scoring strikes, including a 40-yard touchdown pass to Gerald Everett for that go-ahead score with 1:49 left to play. The other numbers from the stat sheet of the game were that there were 14 touchdowns, including three by defensive players, and there were 56 first downs in the game. The track meet ended with the Rams outlasting the Kansas City Chiefs 54-51. Now it's about time we talk about some Hall of Famers and their birthdays on this November 19th. And let's start off in the year 1949 in Portland, Oregon, and Oregon's amazing wide receiver slash running back Ahmad Rashad was born. Yes, you saw correctly in the title, running back was added. According to the footballfoundation.org's website, during Ahmad's very first game, he turned in a three-touchdown performance. The coaches wanted to get Rashad as many touches as possible, so in order to accomplish this, they moved the young man to the backfield the following year and had him lead the team in rushing. Just because he lined up in the backfield and toted the ball through holes in the line did not restrict him from catching passes downfield. The offensive coordinator was more than happy to call plays for Ahmad to use his receiving skill set too. After all, the quarterback of the Ducks at the time was none other than a man called Dan Fouts. During his senior season, his rushing totals ranked 8th nationally, and Rashad became the first team All-American. The National Football Foundation selected Ahmad Rashad to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2007. We have one more birthday to remember. He was not a Hall of Famer yet, but he was a Super Bowl MVP. Yes, November 19, 1957 marks the birthday of Otis J. Anderson, the NFL running back of the New York Giants, 1990 Super Bowl MVP. And we hope he, too, has a very happy birthday this November 19th. We shared some pretty great gridiron history in today's episode, but tomorrow in our November 20th football history headlines, we have even more as we talk about George Gipp's final game is played. The Cowboys set an NFL record for sacks in a game. Walter Payton sets a single-game record, and a Cal runner scores the winning touchdown as he runs through the Stanford band's interference. You can only find it in your November 20th football history headlines on pigskindispatch.com or the Sports History Network or from whatever podcast provider you download from. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. Hope you enjoyed another nostalgic episode here on the Sports History Network. By now, you've heard us rave about two books, The Golf Round I'll Never Forget and NBA 75, The Definitive History. Have you snagged your copies yet? If so, well, we applaud you for great taste. But if you haven't, well, listen up, because our generous partners over at Firefly Books are giving away a free copy of each book to one of our dedicated fans. To enter the giveaway for your chance at winning one of these awesome books, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Good luck, and remember, you can come back daily to earn more entries. Hey there, sports history fan. Hope you enjoyed another nostalgic episode here on the Sports History Network. By now, you've heard us rave about two books, The Golf Round I'll Never Forget and NBA 75, The Definitive History. Have you snagged your copies yet? If so, well, we applaud you for great taste. But if you haven't, well, listen up, because our generous partners over at Firefly Books are giving away a free copy of each book to one of our dedicated fans. To enter the giveaway for your chance at winning one of these awesome books, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Good luck, and remember, you can come back daily to earn more entries.